Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture. Hey everyone, and welcome back. It is February 2022, and it is time for another episode of Youth Updates. As per usual, you've got myself, Beth, and we've also got...
me, Hannah. I don't know why I did it like that, but we're going to roll with it now.
Wonderful. And if you are new here, myself and Hannah, we are both part of the Youth for Christ Church Resources team, and we love just being with you guys each month to give you a regular drop of info about youth culture.
Yeah, but we thought, as well as mine and Beth's voices, we would add someone new into the mix this month. So we have a mystery guest.
Mystery guest? For how much longer will they be a mystery?
Well, they're just about to reveal themselves, so not a very long mystery. But who is our mystery guest? Introduce yourself. What is your name? What do you do?
My name is John.
Hi, John.
I nearly introduced myself as a singer then, but I'm not anymore, I suppose.
I mean, you can still be a singer.
I work at Youth for Christ as the head of mission.
Wow.
Is my current role.
Exciting. Yeah?
What a thing to be head of.
I know, right? It's a lot of pressure.
Absolutely. And you are doing some cool things in your new role. And you mentioned singing and you have a lot to do with music and stuff like that. And you are doing some exciting things to do with drill music.
You guys can't see who's listened to this is Hannah looked at me and she just was making sure that she was saying drill correctly.
Yeah.
Is it? I believe it's called drill.
That's how much about drill music I know. And as you can hear, I clearly said it in the coolest way. Drill music.
And not the power tool.
Yes. Please tell us, what is drill music?
So drill music is a new variation of rap music. That came out of specifically London. So you guys might be familiar, I guess, with grime music. So when we were younger, it was more the rap stuff going on in London was grime music. But now it's changed into drill. And it's called drill because of the way the beat works and also the way they spit their lyrics. So the way they rap and the lyrics that they write.
What I highly enjoy, which no one listening will know, is that Hannah was pulling many faces of intrigue and interest and feeling like this is completely new information, which I highly enjoy.
This is going right over my head.
But yeah, obviously, this is our Youth Updates podcast. So in what way, John, is this part of youth culture? Like, how are young people, you know, connecting with this? What is the deal?
Yeah, so at the moment, there statistically is around 3 million young people every single week going onto YouTube and watching like freestyle rap music videos, which now drill is the biggest growing style of rap within the UK, which is why, you know, we've decided at Youth for Christ to create a resource on the intro outro channel that is around drill music.
Cheeky little plug there. Want to tell us some more?
Yeah, so Intro Outro is on YouTube.
Yeah, so Intro Outro is Youth for Christ's YouTube channel. And historically, it's only really done vlog videos, which is like vlogging your day, walking around, recording it.
A
video blog, yeah. Exactly.
I know that one.
However, since I've joined, because my history is I was in a band called Soulbox. If you're on Spotify now, which I assume the way you listen to it, don't pause and go to Soulbox. But if you want to know a history of what I've done historically, don't leave just yet. But I was part of a band called Soulbox for the last 6 years with the Message Trust, and I travelled the UK doing music. And that was what I did, and that's what I love. And it's always been the way that I've wanted to share Jesus is through music. And when I was in West London, I did that specifically through rap. I created a little rap group with my youth group.
Ooh,
I don't know if you know this about me, yeah. Mm. So I started a little rap group with my youth group, and the intention was to share Jesus with them because they all loved rapping. And then what would happen was, because they learned the lyrics, I basically started rapping Bible lyrics, if you like. And then all of them started hearing about it. They memorized the lyrics, and then a lot of them became Christians. So since coming to Youth for Christ, I'm like, hey, why don't we create a resource online that is God-inspired drill music, because that's the current style of rap, as well as there will be some grime and everything else. And the idea is that it's God-inspired rap music with artists from around the UK the biggest Christian rap artists. We get them on, they do a freestyle, so they do their thing, they spit their bars, they do the drill. Can you say drill again for us, Hannah?
Drill.
No, exactly. I was about to do the boots and cats and then restrain
exactly.
myself.
You have to eke it out a bit. Drill.
Drill. So they do the drill thing, but then so there's no confusion about what the lyric's about, the next video that we do with that artist is we do an interview as well. Mm. And they share where those
Love
lyrics
that.
Are from. And then also we're getting them to talk about how they became a Christian and basically why God's important to them.
Mm. Oh, that's great. That sounds like some... Yeah, we're really excited for that. And
I think I explained that all right. Did
yeah,
I explain
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
right?
That was great.
Okay, good.
That was great. And there'll be some people listening who will be youth workers. I mean, not everyone, but kind of what do we need to bear in mind as youth workers? How can they get involved in this fastest growing style of rap music, as you said?
Yeah, well, I mean, how they can get involved with it is well, one way they can get involved with it is just literally by using these videos. So these videos can hopefully for youth workers be a tool. And obviously Youth for Christ is all about taking the gospel relevantly to young people across Britain, right? So the idea is that to all the grime and rap lovers in Britain, this is something that is in a language that is relevant to them. So you could share it with your youth groups, which is obviously the aim. But then the following week, you could show the interview as well and say, oh, you know, that guy that you really liked that was sick at rap or whatever, actually, this is why he raps. So it's the idea so that youth workers can use it, show it to them. It's a relevant way of engaging with your young people, and hopefully it can start a God conversation off the back of it, is the aim. But in terms of being aware of what rap and drill culture is at the moment in the UK, it has kind of been adopted by the gangs in Britain, I would say. And it is quite often used as a way to communicate a lifestyle that we wouldn't generally want for our young people. Probably around violence and things like idolatry. I'm assuming everyone that was listening to this is Christian. So basically idolatry of stuff in the world. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Which is a shame.
And I guess as well, like, if there are people listening who are clueless on what drill music is and may refer to it in a similar way as Hannah once again.
Drill.
Wonderful. Then I guess head into that channel and listen to the stuff that's out on there as well. We'll give people an idea of actually what drill music sounds like and its sort of vibe and all that sort of stuff as well.
Totally. And if you're a youth worker listening to it, like, you'll know. I don't know what young people are doing all the time. There's all these different kinds of trends. And this music, I encourage you to listen to it, but it's kind of like, it's not really for you, it's for your young people. So it's a tool for you to go in and share Jesus with them, you know? So even if you don't get drill music, it doesn't mean your young people don't get drill
100%.
Music.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And you mentioned about, you know, maybe some of the messages in it might be not what we're maybe wanting our young people to follow, maybe. So why is it important then for Christians to be in this space? Why is it important for those, you know, those people you mentioned who are then going to come and share?
Yeah,
you know, why is it important for Christians to be in drill music?
Well, in the Bible, it talks about being in the world, but not of the world, right? So we need to be in the world and understand what's going on in order to be able to share the gospel relevantly. So you need to be in it and be aware of it in order to speak into it. Otherwise, you're like an alien coming into an unseen world, right?
Nice.
Yeah, love that. Nice
little quote. Loving this. I'm sat here like, this is so
I'm learning
good.
A lot.
Yeah, I know.
About drill.
Yeah, drill.
Drill. Music.
Yeah, I like that. I like
on
that.
On Radio 4. Oh, I meant to say Classic FM, but you know, we'll go with Radio 4. Maybe it's
great.
Yeah, great. John's going to stick around with us first.
Is that
and
okay?
Foremost.
Can I stick around?
No.
Yeah.
I'm already
stick
here.
Stick around with us.
We would love you
too. We've got two more things we want to share with these guys at home. And from one style of music to the next.
So different.
We don't really talk about this next one.
No.
What do we not talk about? We don't talk about Bruno. That was such a cheesy link. I'm so sorry to everyone at home.
That's all right. They won't mind.
Fine. Yeah,
John knows the line to this song, and I feel like he should sing it now.
Oh, on the spot.
What is it? Yeah. We don't talk about Bruno, no, no.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
There we go. Well, this has come up. This currently is the first ever Disney song to ever get the UK number one spot in the charts. Fun fact.
How insane is that?
I know. There are other songs as well that are in the top UK charts. If you go on Spotify, Apple Music, it is right up there at the top. In comparison, Let It Go only ever got to number 11.
I actually don't believe that. I think your facts are wrong.
That is a wrong fact.
This is from the official source of BBC News Round. If nothing else, you got to trust BBC News Round.
That's amazing.
That's not true. Yeah, but I mean, this music, I'm sure many people listening to this have been aware of the Disney film Encanto coming out, and it's a song from that. And the music was done by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who many people will know from doing Hamilton. He's also done some other Disney stuff, but he did the second Mary Poppins that he was in. He also did all the music for Moana. Now, of course, Encanto is massive with families and kids, but unsurprisingly, probably one of the reasons it's blown up so much is because of TikTok, because We Don't Talk About Bruno has been sound clipped, soundbited all over TikTok. There are trends out there. There's all sorts of stuff. And some of the other songs from Encanto are being used as trends as well. So there's been loads of people who've been posting videos of like their boyfriends or their parents crying as they relate to one of the songs from the film. And it's sort of been doing the rounds a little bit. And I think what is interesting is I know that we went to our youth group the other night and I sort of mentioned that We Don't Talk About Bruno. It's like a mixed reaction of some people who were like, oh my gosh, I love Encanto and I love this film, compared to the other ones who were just absolutely like, oh, I am so sick of this. It's everywhere at the moment.
Yeah. Like, please actually stop
like
talking
please
about it.
Stop like it's on all the time. And I just think it's interesting as well, because I think it's this fine line of like, it's trending on TikTok, but then there's also still this clear line of like, when is something like too young for young people, and when is something like transitioning into that vibey trend culture as well. And so I think it's really interesting, but I think it's one of those things that at the moment everyone's sort of at least heard of it and is sort of linking to that. So it'd be fun for you guys, maybe sort of when you're with your young people, if you hear them singing some songs about a guy called Bruno, then maybe strike up a conversation with them, because this has been pretty big.
There was some interesting stuff to do with the merch too, wasn't there?
The
stuff that they thought would be popular maybe isn't so popular.
Yeah, so this is interesting, and I think speaks into a lot of culture at the moment, particularly around body image stuff. So Disney originally wanted all the characters, particularly the females, to be sort of slim and attractive, etc. But they were persuaded by some of the character creation team to vary them out. So there's one character called Louisa, and she's sort of quite muscly and big. She's kind of hench. And then Mirabelle, the main character, has got curly hair, glasses, which has never really happened before. And Disney put out loads of stuff for the attractive sister, the beautiful sister, typically beautiful, slim, long hair, feminine dresses.
Sell.
And actually everyone wanted the merch of the other two guys who are more relatable.
How amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, sold, like, you can't get them.
And actually loads of people have come out, and there's actually been loads of teenagers come out online saying, oh my gosh, I've actually seen someone who's a bit chunkier in a film, and it makes me feel so much better that
I can finally,
even Disney
I can finally relate.
Yeah.
I love it.
And that's an empowering character, Louisa, as well. It's a big, strong woman. They don't take nothing. Like, she just she's throwing donkeys around. She's lifting up buildings. Like, she is smashing life as well.
Literally smashing.
Love it. And it's nice to see, like, they've gone in a slightly different direction, and that's actually really kind of like, you know, been popular, and people have gone, well, actually, this is something we're really looking for. So I think that's really cool.
And I think this generation has been quite good at trying to push sort of freedom and less judgment around body types as well.
And
so
isn't that showing a generational gap as well, though?
Yeah.
The fact that they wanted to release it and they were the one that was typically beautiful and they thought that was the one that would sell. And yet now they're sold out of the one that the presumably the older producers and whatever people
sell,
from Disney thought would sell. It's very interesting.
So there you go. Interesting.
Yep.
Food
so give it a watch. It's on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Go and give it a watch. Go and watch Encanto. And then our final little topic that we're going to look at is this month, you will probably know, has a holiday called Valentine's Day.
I don't know why.
I can't do that. And it makes me really sad. That was my attempt. Sorry, everyone, for that. We're recording this on a Friday and it's very silly. But as we kind of approach Valentine's Day, I think it's really good to kind of like broach the topic of dating and relationships with young people. But actually, we saw a piece of research, me and Beth, that said, unlike generations kind of before them, Gen Z actually don't really feel pressure to be in a relationship. And this was a blog post that we saw kind of about dating pre and post pandemic trends. And it says our data reveals that over a third of 16 to 24s describe themselves as happily single, And when asked why they stay single, more than half said they want to prioritise their own needs. So I think this is just quite interesting. Like, if I think about, like, back in school days, it was all about, like, who's dating who, who's with who,
yeah.
you know, getting a boyfriend or girlfriend. That was, like, a major thing. And interesting to see there might be a little bit of a switch here.
Yeah.
You saw some stuff about higher ages.
I think
well.
It's one of those things where you can kind of see where... what lies in front of the current generation of teenagers and young people, because I was 16 to 24 is slightly older than a lot of the young people we might come in contact with. But then also this year, it's the first year since records began that more women turning 30 don't have kids than do. And so I think it's just a generational societal shift that, that this stuff is happening later. And I think it's interesting because actually if I think of our guys that we see week in, week out, there are, you know, obviously people still have crushes and everyone talks about that. And but in terms of actual boyfriends, girlfriends, I've noticed a lot less lately. And it seems like more of them are more happy just to chill with their friends. But there is a lot of research out there saying that this current generation of young people, we'll link some of this on the write-up blog that we do as well, that actually nowadays they have less sex and less romantic partners as teenagers and sort of that dating and stuff than previous generations or even Gen Y when they were teenagers, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And we're totally not saying that, you know, talking about, you know, sex and relationships isn't important with young people, because it absolutely still is. And it's still a huge part of culture and life. But it is just interesting to see maybe how things are changing. And I guess people hopefully over time will start doing a bit more research into to maybe some of the reasons behind this, and it'll be interesting to see kind of like what comes of that really. But yeah, people, from the research we've seen, some of the reasoning seems to be, you know, young people are kind of happy being single, happy chilling with their friends, happy maybe focusing on yourself is kind of like enough, and because that's maybe a bit more difficult now, you know, trying to think about adding someone else into the mix can be like a difficult thought, and it'll just be interesting to see what some of the reasoning for that is.
I'd love to do some prodding into this further.
Yeah,
I think it's also definitely. Like, because obviously young people are still interested in you know that
That's
side of things in life, but I wonder if it's just the way that it's portrayed is different. So like whereas like 20 years ago you wouldn't get people like messaging each other online or you know, has it just shifted?
I wonder. So there's a few things. So, and this is just popping up in my head.
Yeah,
I'm a visitor, so if I say something wrong, that's okay, right?
Please,
It's like, it could be because of, obviously, divorce is historically on the up, right? So I wonder if it's about young people's perception of relationships and perception of marriage. Because if people presumably, you know, the majority of divorces aren't particularly nice, especially on the children, if that leaves a lasting impact on actually I'm better off by myself, which could have an impact on relationships full stop.
Yeah, 100%.
And also I've heard the reason there's less sex is because more young people are watching pornography. And actually there's more of a reliance and addiction around pornography, and therefore they don't feel the need to go out and have sex themselves. So it's very interesting.
So it's sort of outlets in different ways, isn't it? It works itself out differently.
Yeah, totally.
Like, because, you know, maybe it's that young people aren't getting into, I'll say committed relationships. I don't mean like, you know, 3-year relationships. Yeah. But like maybe it's like that formal boyfriend, girlfriend thing just isn't happening in the same way, but casual dating, stuff online, porn, that's the space instead.
Yeah, because like, sex and relationships is always going to be a part of culture.
Yeah,
but
100%.
Yeah, like we say, the way that ends up, you know, coming out and, you know, the context of that can change massively. And yeah, like what John said about generation to generation, there tends to be a bit of a flip of wanting to do things differently to the generation before. So
yeah, it's very
totally
interesting. And if you look at, and sorry, I know it is a positive, by the way, people gaining their own independence and feeling like they're more comfortable in their own skin is a huge positive.
Yeah.
However, 100%. I wonder if both of those things, there's a potential of that actually being quite selfish, talking about a selfish aspect of young people now, like even the act of pornography is very selfish.
Yeah.
And then being independent and being by yourself as much as that's a huge positive, I'm not saying it's not, could potentially be just a selfishness about yourself, which I don't know. Hey, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm glad you stuck with us though, John, because those are some really, really interesting thoughts.
I mean, it's even like in my head now, I've just gone, oh my gosh, you know, like typically like loads of Christian teaching is like, you know, wait till marriage until you do certain things. But if young people aren't aiming at the goal
like,
of marriage,
well, I'm not gonna get married
anymore, then How does that translate into culture?
And also with relationship, coming into relationship with Jesus is all about sacrifice.
Yeah. Mm.
So then you're going to come into this really interesting perspective of young people where they're not even used to relationship being sacrifice or sacrificial. That's so that is that potentially could, for youth workers and for us sharing Jesus with people, saying, actually, you need to give this stuff up. And they're like, well, no, I'm okay by myself.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So, but yeah, I don't know.
you basically just went, here's all this really insightful stuff, but I don't know. Well, I think it was great. Thank you for sharing.
I know, we're just dropping loads of stuff for everyone at home to go in and think about now.
Also,
so.
I thought this about, we didn't mention with the Encanto thing. Can we go back to the Encanto?
Of course we can. We can do whatever we want.
Have you looked at the narrative of the main young lady in Encanto, right? So it's a young lady growing up feeling like everybody else in her family is special apart from her. And how many young
Relatable.
People do we meet, right? How many young people do we meet now that is their story?
Yeah.
So many young people I speak to, they go, oh yeah, well, my brother's like this. Oh, look at how amazing. Almost like they've got this superpower. Mm. Oh, they're so clever. You know, they got straight A's and now they're at university. Oh, you know, my dad's like this and he's done this and my brother's like that. Yeah. And then you have this, because depression's on the high, right? Across, especially after COVID, and people feel like they've not achieved stuff at all because they've been sitting around doing nothing. I did some research asking youth workers around what's the biggest issue with young people. They feel so demoralized because like they've put on so much weight over lockdown, and they're feeling really depressed and down about themselves and feeling like they're not special because all they've been doing in is sitting in and doing nothing, which is depressing. It's not surprising that the thing that is incredibly, you know, this film that's taken off, the main character is incredibly relatable, who feels like they haven't got any superpowers and feel like they're totally alone. When I watch movies, that's the kind of stuff I think
about. I think so many of the characters in that film are, because you've got like the one who feels like they've got to be perfect and just can't handle being perfect anymore. The one who feels like they're taking all the pressure and they can't show that they're taking the pressure. And so I think so many elements of that are what people typically feel in a family.
Even the grandma, right? And sorry, I got so excited when I watched Encanto. I'm sure these are usually 20 minutes or something and I'm going to make it an hour. But anyway.
That's okay.
So even the grandma. So the grandma at the end is talking about keeping hold of her legacy with her husband, right? So she's like, oh, I want to keep hold of this special gift that we've been given that we had together. And I don't want it to die. However, then it's the inheritance of this other special gift that the granddaughter gives. So it's even talking to like a from an older person perspective of what would the word be, like passing on generational talents, right? And that grandma felt like she had to hold on to this thing so tightly, and yet in letting it go brought this beautiful freedom throughout the family. That's the kind of stuff I think
this
about when I watch Disney.
Sponsored by Disney.
My fiance hates when I watch films because at the end I go, isn't it amazing the way that that's relevant about that? And she's like, I just like the pretty flowers. Yeah. So
you're relating everything to like this thing about culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, that's amazing.
We have reached an exciting part of the podcast.
Oh, we have, John.
Where John needs to get involved in this as well. So, this involves your musical. This involves singing.
Oh, no.
It's our word of the month, where every month we have not prepped. We will sing a jingle. We will sing word of the month.
Well, what's the jingle?
There isn't a jingle.
The tune changes.
What do you mean sing the non-existent jingle?
We sing the word of the month, but we sing it entirely different. We just count down.
We all sing it differently to each other.
It's purposefully terrible.
You could do it in drill style.
I know what to do there. What's it called? Word of the month.
Word of the month. Okay, so are you ready? Three.
Wait. We do it all at the same
all
time.
All at the same time.
It's really bad.
We promise we will do it.
Okay.
Okay. Three, two, one.
Word of the month.
I like that.
One time we did leave Lou to do it by herself and she was not thankful for that.
Yeah, she was not happy about it. But Beth is going to intro our word of the month for this
month. I am indeed. So the word of the month this time is triggered. So this word has technically been around for a while, but has morphed into different meanings. So the official definition of triggered is experiencing a strong emotional reaction of fear, shock, anger, or worry, especially because you are made to remember something bad that has happened in the past. Now, originally, the word triggered, sort of to do with this, came from when people had traumatic experiences or PTSD, and it would be talked about something that sort of gave them flashbacks or negative feelings to do with that thing. However, it's sort of used in a slightly lighter way now and is often used in online spaces, or young people use it when they say they are triggered by something, and it can mean a couple of different things. So sometimes triggered is used when people get offended or their feelings are hurt, or it might be used in memes. So for example, Becky was triggered because Dave told her to get off the Xbox and make him a sandwich. Like, that could be like one use of it. So, like, you know, she was triggered because he asked her to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
But sometimes as well, like, it'll be used by young people when something like negative is relatable. So like if someone says, oh, my teacher shouted at me in front of everyone and it wasn't even my fault, and then someone else will be like, oh, triggered, like, because, you know, like, they might have had the same experience recently.
Bad, yeah.
So it's kind of like a relatable thing. So it'll often get used to do with sort of either saying, oh, like, this negative thing's relatable, or when someone sort of has had like a sudden reaction to something, which is interesting. But also, it'll sort of, the word triggered will often get put around, or trigger warnings as well, especially if there's sort of online content that might be of a sensitive sort of nature or topic, particularly on platforms like Reels or TikTok or on YouTube videos. Some people will put up like a trigger warning in case, you know, there's content in there that might be sensitive, for example, to do with certain mental health issues or something like eating disorders. Often people will give a trigger warning beforehand as well,
to say they're going to talk about a sensitive topic. Yeah.
So it kind of gets used a little bit interchangeably between more serious meanings and also sort of more lighthearted, like, haha, that's negative, but I relate, or when someone has been offended or hurt by something. So there you go, guys.
There we go. So we have reached the end of this, maybe slightly longer, but I think really interesting and
meaty.
Full of, yeah, meaty.
Don't
podcast.
Say it. I'm triggered if you say that.
There we go. So we have come to the end of this, slightly longer than usual, but I think really rich and full of some really meaty podcast. And we are so glad that you have listened all the way to the end, and we are really glad that you have been with us. We would love for you to give this a listen, follow us on Spotify. Can you follow on Spotify?
Yeah,
you
Spotify,
can.
Apple
I don't
Music.
Know why I just suddenly overthought that then. Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, Apple Music, Spotify, on our website as
well.
Yeah,
and make sure you follow us on social media so that you can see what is coming up.
What's the social media, Hannah?
What is the social media? YFC Resources.
Ooh. Very nice.
Yeah, please give us a follow. We are trying to put out more regular content as well on our Instagram, aren't we?
Great.
So please.
Can I shamelessly plug?
Of course
I know I
can.
Just interrupted you.
Yeah,
but
go on. Go for it.
My plug is Youth for Christ have brand new playlists for all of your youth needs.
Wow.
If you would like for your youth group to listen to a clean pop playlist that is specifically about Jesus, would you like that, Hannah?
That's actually so
really
useful.
Yeah, I've created it.
That is so
We've
useful.
Created it. And Youth for Christ as a profile on Spotify, conveniently probably the platform you're on right now. However, you might be on Apple Music, in which case, get a Spotify profile. Because it's on there. So it's all the Youth for Christ profile. We have ones on pop music. We have one on rock music. We have lo-fi. We have chilled. We have Christian party. We have it all.
Christian
so please
party.
Go on down to the Spotify Youth for Christ profile and click a follow. And for all of your auditory needs.
Awesome.
That was amazing.
I love how that ended.
We
are so glad that you have joined us this week as we spoke about drill music. I had to throw it in once more at the end then. I'm really sorry. I've embarrassed myself on this podcast, but that's okay. And we will see you next month. We will see you next month for more youth updates.
Yes, we will.
Peace.
Bye.